Ladies and gentlemen, y'all know what time it is. Once again, one more time for the 3Wide Podcast with EG3. That's right, back again, another episode coming at you, a special edition, special guest edition of this podcast. In case your first time listening to the show, welcome on board. If it's your second time, or you've been in and out of the show, or you've been listening to us throughout of this journey of the 3Wide Podcast with EG3, appreciate your support. I am recording this here once again, one more time. This has been a theme here, particularly with this NASCAR podcast, back on the road in Kansas City, Missouri. I should probably say Liberty, one of the suburb areas, Liberty, Missouri. Right now it's currently raining here as I'm recording this, set up in a hotel, of course, at a good location here in preparation for the half marathon that I'm going to be taking part of when this podcast goes up. The podcast goes out on Sunday night. We're already going to know the results of that, hopefully. And of course, K-State, my alma mater, in the Elite Eight, taking on FAU, aka Florida Atlantic, tomorrow. Again, you're going to know pretty much when this podcast rolls out Sunday night the results of those two things. Of course, special guest here in just a little bit. Finally, after kind of kicking the can down the road a little bit, now it's finally, you know what, we'll just go ahead and let's get this knocked out and let's not kick the can any further than where we have to be. So I'm obviously busy schedules and whatnot, but finally, anticipation of our special guest, Chrissy Luttrell, will join us here in a little bit. She's a former podcaster herself as well. She was one of the co-hosts for the Fast Lap podcast. We'll get more insight on that. Obviously, she has stepped away from that, so we'll get to all that here on this edition of the 3Wide Podcast with EG3. I am living a dream right now in Kansas City, aka Liberty, one of the sub areas in Kansas City, because Kansas City is obviously a huge, huge area between two states, Kansas and Missouri, right? And remember, I recorded an episode a while back in Kansas City as well when the Hall of Fame class of 2023 was announced as well. So this has been kind of the norm here in the spring semester so far for this podcast. So this is another. This is the third one we've done on the road. But yeah, I love doing these things, and finally we're able to get this thing scheduled right, and now here we are back again while it's raining here in Liberty, Missouri. Of course, we talk all things racing and of course other things besides that now. Craftsman Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and of course the Cup Series of 3Beast Divisions and all of motorsports. And I mentioned Kansas State. I'll get to them in a minute. I'm going to have a few minutes here before Chrissy calls in the show. I'll get on that. I'll touch on that here in a minute. But we're going to take care of some little bit of business here first. We are recording on quarter weekend, triple header weekend down there south of us, about 8-9 hours away from here. If I'm back in Manhattan, that's 7.5 hours away. But Tyler Reddick was fastest in practice there. Of course, no stage breaks this weekend for obviously we're gonna know the situation anyways when this podcast comes out. So, but Tyler Reddick fastest in practice there, and he ended up running the most laps as well. He and Michael McDowell led that department there as well. And oh, by the way, Chrissy is a Chase Elliott fan. We'll talk to her about that. And Chase Elliott is going to be in the booth doing this podcast again. Have to do it past tense. Chase Elliott would have already called a NASCAR race. Look, Chase Elliott obviously injured, already went down that rabbit hole already. Not going to do it. Don't have time to do it tonight on this edition of the podcast. Which, oh, by the way, this is episode 345. If you've been paying attention to our feed, episode 344 is already out wherever you listen to your podcast, whether that's Spotify, Apple, or any other podcast platform as well. But yeah, we're going to see Let me see. We can pull up something here real quick here. I'm gonna pull up the speeds here because there's some big names in this field this weekend. Corner Dakota here. And I'm gonna actually start down here where Jimmy Johnson is. Jimmy Johnson's in the field this weekend here. He was bottom of the speed charts there as well. Kimi Räikkönen. In final practice, he was 32nd. I'm looking up at the board sheet now. How about the 15 Rick Ware, racing Ford of Jensen Button Mobile One? He was 28th. Not too bad, not too shabby there as well. So that's, and apparently they forgot about Ty Gibbs there as well. But Ty Gibbs, he was the separation between he and Reddick as far as 10 consecutive lap average goes was pretty significant gap. So Tyler Reddick, remember Tyler Reddick won back last year at I can't remember now. I think it was either Mid Ohio. No, it was not Mid Ohio. I can't remember now. But he won a road course last year, and now he's been competitive when it comes to road courses as well. So this is not a surprise up here in top, and he's of course coming off of a top 10 run last weekend. His teammate Bo Wallace was 8th in final practice there as well. So Bo Wallace is really getting hands down when it comes to road course racing there as well. He's really coming along on top of that as well. Austin Cindric was 7th here. Daniel Suarez, remember Dakota last year, it was Ross Chastain that got the victory, but Daniel Suarez, I think, had a car to beat if he didn't have his issues. But then, so the Trackhouse cars, 3rd and 5th. Again, we're gonna know the situation, who won this race when this podcast episode airs late Sunday night as well. So definitely, just a round horn at some updates there where drivers are at right now, and particularly Button, Räikkönen, and Jimmy Johnson stand at as well. Connor Daly back in the Money Mayweather car, Chevrolet, dead last there. Dead last there as well. This is the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast, episode 345, interview edition. Eddie Greer, a.k.a. EG3, here with you, coming from Liberty, Missouri, in final preparations of looking at a tough race. Tough race tomorrow, but hey, I'm looking at it. I am strategizing my race tomorrow. So from way it looks like, it's going to be tough out there, but I'm looking forward to a challenge. I mean, I've ran some tough courses already throughout the last, 3-4 years now. So obviously, I'll talk about Liberty. Everybody's telling me about is hills, 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 hills. And hey, Kansas has some hills now too. But yeah, Missouri, when you get in this area, a little friendly and minor. Those hills, woof, they'll get you if you're not training right. But I'm anxious to get out there and see what I got tomorrow morning. And along with that, when this podcast rolls out, I know I've been saying that a lot, but Kansas State, before Chrissy calls in here, Kansas State played in one of the most dramatic, thrilling NCAA tournament games of all time last night. Michigan State took us to overtime last night, and it went literally down to the wire there. Marquise Noel had a legendary NCAA breaking record performance last night with his 19 assists along with his 20 points last night to get the job done. Incredible stuff. You cannot make that stuff up there. Marquise Noel, of course, is hometown. For those who don't know, Marquise Noel, probably should say this. Marquise Noel, right? He is from the New York area. He's always been, right, apart. But he hasn't been home in some 3 years. That was stunning to me when I heard that because he's been sacrificing his craft, right, to try to make himself better. And boy, oh boy, has he shown up. Look, he's shown up all year, but he's been playing like a different person. He is controlling, right, the he's the reason why K-State is one win away from the tournament, from the biggest stage in college basketball, which is, once again, the NCAA Final Four, right? And K-State, we ain't been there in 53 years. We've been on the cusp twice now. This is the third crack at it here in the last, what? I heard a crazy stat here as I got both TVs up. Well, not both TVs. These are not my TVs, but these are the hotel I'm staying at. This is legit. I'm going to have to make this a, every time I come up here, I'm going to have to make this legit home ground, home base right here. This is legit. I got two TVs in this room, right? Flash screen, comfortable a little bit. I got both. Let's see. We're talking about Sweet 16 right now. Houston right in front of me playing Miami. And then on the other screen, got San Diego State and Alabama. So this is living the dream right here. Not saying, hey, at home is good too now. But yeah, we have some home cooking. That's good too now. But we have two TVs right in front of you. And you want to see, just like NASCAR and baseball, you want to, that's what I do. That's what I do. I have that on the tablet. The main thing I want to see will be on the flat screen, right? And on the tablet, I'll have secondary. This is legit right here. I didn't realize when I booked this room, they had two TVs. They didn't say that on here. And I'm not going to mention the name. I'm going to stay in that. So sorry, y'all. I'm not going to mention it. But I'm going to have to make this legit home, third home base right here. Yeah, whatever. We want to call that here. But yeah, K-State on the verge of getting to the Final Four in a long-ass time. How about that? I mean, that is crazy. Crazy stuff. to see my alma mater do so well with her. Oh, yeah. By the way, our first-year head coach in Jerome Tang, who come off a staff for Baylor for 25 years. He won a national championship as an assistant right-hand man to Scott Drew. So, man, you would have told me that going back to last summer, Jerome Tang taking over, especially with only two of the holdovers from the Bruce Weber roster from last year, I would have told you, hell no. No, not at all. And we're sitting here, well, when this podcast rolls to the grid late Sunday night, we're going to know, you guys, all y'all who listen to this podcast, including the nation, y'all going to know if we made it to the Final Four or not. And, of course, I already told you, here in the morning, going out in a trying to get after this tough ass course here in Liberty, Missouri, the Liberty Half Marathon. There's also a 5K too, as well. I know my brother's doing that. And oh, by the way, you might stay tuned for the next special guest as well. That's been brewing for quite a while as well. But this had one has too with Chrissy Luttrell coming up here in just a bit here on the podcast. I'm actually going to step aside here for a moment while I wait on Chrissy. It should be any moment now before my cell phone rings. And when I do, we'll bring Chrissy on. We'll chat a little bit, talk about the season, talk about Chase Elliott, of course, and look forward to here going down the road. Talk about Coda a little bit. And then after that, you're going to hear the ending music as usual for this podcast. You're not going to hear it from me again till next week. Well, of course, till Sunday, actually, when the podcast rolls out. But hey, we're going to step aside for a little bit. We'll come back on the other side. On the other side, we'll have our special guest, our third special guest of the EG3 show here in 2023. Chrissy Luttrell will be joining me here shortly. You're listening to the 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3.
You're listening to the 3Wide podcast with EG3.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. That is me, Eddie Greer III, on the road, selling in here in Liberty, Missouri, recording this podcast here on March 24th, on this Friday, 2023. Well, folks, finally, time to bring on our special guest here for this weekend. Of course, she was a former co-host. Well, they put their podcast on hold for a little bit. One of the other half of the Fast Lap podcast. I hope I got that right because I had it up here and I lost it. But anyways, here finally, after putting it off for quite a while, we have Chrissy Luttrell. Hope I say your last name right. On the podcast, Chrissy, what's up?
Hi, you're close enough. It's Luttrell, but I can get close to everything. It's fine. One half of Fast Lap is Chrissy and Deb, and it is on hold, like you mentioned. We just had a lot going on. Unfortunately, last year my mom passed away, so that's kind of where we paused it. And I wanted to get back into it this season, but it never happened. There's so much going on. Life is so busy. So we're not done. We're just waiting for the right time.
Right, right. And my apologies to hear that about your mother. My best condolences to your family about that. Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate it. It's part of life. I mean, so, but it's been a year and a half. So I'm doing better.
Yeah.
Definitely a better.
Yeah. That's good. That's good to hear, Chrissy. Good to hear. Well, we were talking a little for quite a while off the air there. I am currently in Liberty, Missouri. I got a half marathon running here in the morning, so that's why I'm here. I'm usually in Manhattan, Kansas, but I'm on the road this weekend. But right now I have two television screens up here, and I got them both at the March Madness I was telling you about. Now, so I am fully locked into that, besides racing, by the way, but got that on right now. So what you been up to this week? I know we've been putting it off, rescheduling for quite a while. Life's crazy, but how's your week been going?
It's actually been pretty good. Nothing too exciting, just work and the mom life, which is a huge part of why the podcast is also on hold. And I wasn't working when I started the podcast, and now I'm full time, you know, working and a mom and all that. So, but yeah, nothing out of the ordinary. Just another good week working and trying to plan on our next NASCAR race. How's your week been?
Week's been pretty busy. Yeah, today was super busy work wise, and then coming from Manhattan, getting a little bit off early of work, coming here, happened to get here at a certain time, so it's been go from the jump today. But it's been good. It's been really good. So
that's good. It's good busy though.
yes, good busy. That kind of busy. Yeah. For our listeners, Chrissy, we'll get to the podcast stuff momentarily. Yeah. But tell us a little bit about yourself and how did you become a fan of NASCAR?
Well, I growing up, I hung out with my brother. I was really close with him. He's a couple years older than me, but I mean, I had my own friends, but actually when we got to be teenagers, we hung out more, and I started going to like drag racing with him. Our local drag strip here is Orlando Speed World, and kind of got into like this little Mustang crowd. We had like our little Mustang group. My first car was a Firebird, and I love that car. It's my fire chicken. And yeah, I just really enjoyed cars in general, going to car shows, car meets. I started entering car shows. I did a couple, you know, laps on the drag strip myself, nothing crazy. and, you know, hopped around a couple Mustangs myself. I had a GT, and then I had a Cobra, and now I have an 04 Celine. And my husband has a Cobra, my brother has a Celine as well, so we're big, you know, Mustang enthusiasts. excuse me, but how I got into the NASCAR was my husband. He was a NASCAR fan, and you know, we met through the drag racing, which we did a lot of that together. And then he introduced me. He had NASCAR on one weekend, and I was actually watching the Xfinity Championship when Chase Elliott won. And when they said he lived in Dawsonville, I was like, oh my gosh, I used to live right near there, because I used to live in Atlanta, Georgia, but I lived in a town called Cumming. which was, I believe, like 20 minutes from Dawsonville.
So never heard of that. Never heard of that.
It's spelled inappropriately too. So it was a fun thing to send my friends mail when I lived up there. They were like, "Are you for real?" So, anyway, but yeah, so that's how I became a fan of Chase and continued to watch NASCAR as he moved up into the Cup Series. And now I just really enjoy it because, you know, for people that say like, "Oh, NASCAR's just turning left." You know, if you like racing, you like it for more than what they race. You like it because the end goal is, no matter what kind of course you're on, you are trying to get to the end first, fastest, in one piece, and win, regardless of what that looks like. And there's so much. I like all the nitty-gritty, like the strategies and the planning and how everything can change in an instant with wrecks or cautions or, you know, just anything, penalties. And if you really look into it, it's not boring if you know what you're paying attention to. If people saying it's boring, they're just watching cars going around in a circle. And yeah, then you have no, you know, depth to what the racing actually is or understanding of all the details involved. And so, yeah, that's kind of how I got into it. And then I went to my first race and I was hooked on that. So now I'm the one always pushing to go to races. So, but yeah, it's great.
And where was your first NASCAR race at? Which one did you go to first?
It was the 2017, and it was only the Xfinity race at Daytona, because Daytona is my home track, which I am very blessed to say that's my home track. Was the 2017 Xfinity July race, and we went because our kids were still little at the time. Like, my youngest was 2 and my oldest was 3.5, 4 years old. So we were like, let's not do anything too big. Let's just go and something easy. It's not going to be too crowded. So I enjoyed that a lot. And then we eventually added the following year. We went for the whole weekend, and then we did the 500. And now we go to basically every race at Daytona.
Yeah, that's great. That's exciting. Yeah, I'm originally from Georgia. So I lived in Florida for almost 12 or 13 years. As my listeners know, I went to have been to 2 500s. I haven't been back down there since they reconfigured it. So I gotta make that put that on a bucket list. Go back there at some point when I'm not too crazy busy. But it's that track has changed a lot since I've left the state of Florida, and now I call Kansas Speedway my home track because I'm 2 hours away from the speedway. So,
nice. The nice tracks that you've been able to experience. Like, where in Georgia did you live?
I'm from Henry County, so I was born in Stockbridge, Georgia. If you know where that is.
Oh, I do. That's mid state.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. I know. I pass through there every time I'm driving to and from Atlanta because y'all are right off 75 or.
Just about.
You can get there from anywhere, but you know, I always see the signs and stuff, so that makes sense.
Yeah, that's 30 minutes away from Atlanta, so unfortunately, I wasn't able to go to the races at Atlanta when it was not a speedway track. We'll get to that.
Oh man,
Yeah, we'll get to that in a little bit, but yeah, I've been down to Daytona a few times, Talladega, and now I've been to Kansas Speedway at least every year. It's exciting, and I plan on going. I'm already planning on going back for the truck and cup races here in another month.
Have you ever made your way to Miami while you were in Florida?
No. Did not. I know one of my friends that has gone to Miami. That's on the bucket list as well, but I haven't been down there yet.
Definitely add it to the top. It is. I know you see people saying how beautiful it is, but I can't put another track above Daytona, but I almost love it more than Daytona. But Daytona's special because it's Daytona.
Yeah.
And I get butterflies every time I get there. Like, I still, when we're driving up to pull in, like, I just stare at the little Daytona International Speedway part of the building shows up, like a kid driving through Disney World, like, you know. But I I just love Miami. There's such a great energy. It's beautiful scenery. The views are great. The sunset is amazing. And I'm sorry, not sorry. It should still be the championship race, but...
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, I'm with you there. You're not the only one, though. You're not the only one. Oh, man, that's a whole nother episode there. But Chrissy Luttrell, right, on the podcast here, the 3WOD podcast with EG3. Chrissy Luttrell joining me here on a special edition, special guest edition of the podcast here. So Miami is definitely one I would like to go to at some point. And I'm hoping, since I'm living out here in the Midwest, at the all three series are in COTA this weekend down there at Austin. So that one is right up there as well. So I know a buddy of mine is down there right now watching qualifying, which is going on right now with the Xfinity series, which I have on the tablet as we are chatting right now. So.
Can't have enough TVs when it comes to liking multiple sports. That's the truth.
That is the truth. Yep, that is me. Yep. So March Madness on two screens here in the hotel room that I'm in, staying at, and then have on the good old tablet here the Xfinity series qualifying right now as we're chatting. So, but very exciting. I know I'm friends with your husband on Twitter as well. What's his actual name? Is it really Daddy or is it something?
Oh, God no! I've asked him to change it. It makes me cringe. His real name is Joseph. I call him Joe.
Okay.
But you know, in our house, he's Daddy because the boys. But right, it's so hated that I'm not a fan. It's cringy to me.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure. But yeah, me and him are, as you probably know, Martin Truex Jr. fans. So
yeah. Oh, he had a painful year. I'm sure you have too. Ooh, last year was rough.
That was frustrating. Yeah. I've expressed it on this podcast. Listeners will know that. Yep, very frustrating. But hopefully, I mean, beginning of this year, I mean, it was not a points race, but winning at the Coliseum was very nice, very refreshing to see that. And hopefully can break through at some point and get him an actual points race win. Get himself back to victory lane. So, but...
I'd like to see him somehow make it to the Final Four and have a shot at a championship, just in case this is, as it feels like, his last season. Although I would think Truex would do one more, not to do it the same year as Kevin Harvick retiring. So I feel like he should have his own kind of goodbye year, you know, because he's earned that. I think he's at that caliber, in my opinion. Yeah. But just in case, I would still love to see him make the championship four, because he has been so close to repeating multiple times. And we were there at the Miami Port Ship Phoenix, and I can't tell you how bad that drive home was.
Oh, gosh, yeah. He should be already at least a two-time, if not a three-time champion. But, yep. Yeah, so many funky situations happen with him and that team. It's not even funny. You probably expect it every week. But I know they changed crews.
Him in that group where you're like, oh, what's he gonna do today? Yep. He's gonna go 20th? Oh boy.
Oh yeah.
But it's fortunate, because I've been there when Chase has had bad races, because, you know, like I said, I'm a Chase fan, and I'm also an Alfredo fan, because I'm a friend of him and his fiance, and so sometimes he's been doing good this year, by the way, so far.
Yeah.
He has the worst luck, and it kills me. It just makes you want to yell at the screen. Oh, but anyway, yeah. You get worked up when your favorites have a hard time.
Oh yeah, yep. You just mentioned that you're a friend of Anthony Alfredo. How'd you guys meet?
So, my best friend Deb, and you know, former co-host, her and I are obviously best friends, and she was an Alfredo fan. We had him on our show, and she got in touch with his now fiance, and we all met up when we were up in Charlotte for the 600, I'm sorry, and went to breakfast or brunch, and the three of us, me, Emily, and Deb, had the best time. It was weird, but it was funny. And then we all sat together at the race later. She hung out with us, Emily hung out with us, while we waited to go into the race for the truck series, and it was actually pretty funny because it started raining, so we all had to climb into this minivan that we were renting. It was our minivan we were renting, and it was my husband, myself, Deb, her husband, my two boys, and Emily, and we're all packed into this minivan, and I'm just like, this is lovely. Like, everyone's a little wet. It's a little muggy in here. We've got two boys in the back that are just, you know, full of sugar because it's race day. So we let them eat sugar so they'll stay awake. And I'm like, I look at Emily. I'm like, I'm sorry. She's just laughing. She had a great time. But anyway, so yeah, we went and actually sat with Anthony for a little bit and watched the truck race up at Charlotte. And then he had to go sit with some other people. But yeah, we all just kind of clicked and got along. And then, I was trying to work on getting my office to potentially sponsor Anthony. I was looking at sponsorships in the past, but it never got to a point where it worked out. And I don't want to say anything else on that just because I can't. Anyway, yeah, I still consider them, you know, friends. We still talk to Emily every once in a while. We have group chat, and we usually calm her down during races when she's stressed out, and we have a good time, you know, cheering her up. So they're good. They're such good people. They're so sweet.
Chrissy Luttrell here in the 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3 here on this Friday night as we're recording here on this rainy evening here. Well, I'm here in Liberty, Missouri. So Chrissy Luttrell, right now, one of the co-hosts for the Fast Lap podcast, still taking a little bit of a break from the podcast with doing with life and other busyness going on. Anthony Alfredo's done pretty good so far this year in the Xfinity Series. I want to go circle back the Chase for a minute here. I'm going to rewind it back to a few weeks ago. Chase Elliott unfortunately got hurt in the in that whole snowboarding deal and the whole debate about should NASCAR drivers enjoy, you know, extreme activities and whatnot. What was your feelings there when you heard about Chase?
Well, to be honest, sorry, I had a little cough. I was bummed at first, but I'm not mad at him. I don't think NASCAR needs to put sanctions on what they do outside of, quote unquote, outside of the office, when they're not in the cars, when they're not racing. You know, Denny Hamlin mentioned around the time it happened, like, they need their time to decompress from racing, because racing is so 24/7 between meetings and watching video and, you know, doing the sim time and then working out and then talking. It's 24/7, and, you know, they need to go clear their heads. And Chase has apparently been snowboarding a very long time, so I trust that he knew what he was doing. We don't know the details. Unless more have come out, we don't know if someone else ran into him and it wasn't even his fault. We don't know. But it's a broken leg. He's young. Yeah, he's out a few weeks, and I'm bummed about it. But I think in the positive, or what Deb and I always look for, we always look for silver linings. The silver linings here is that Josh Berry's getting a chance to shine, and he's doing a hell of a job in that car, and I'm really happy for him. And now Jordan Taylor gets to take a turn at COTA, which is going to be really fun to watch. He's a really fun guy, and I think he's really talented, and I look forward to seeing that. And it also gives the team, you know, kind of a chance to see how they do with a change in driver. God forbid things shake up in the future, whatever. So I look at it as, it's not the end of the world. It sucks, but he's a good driver, and he'll be back in a couple weeks, and he'll be fine. I mean, my husband actually had a very similar, if not the same, fracture. Like I said, I don't know details, so I can't confirm it's the same fracture, but
right.
When my husband was in his early 20s, he fractured his left tibia and fibula, had to have surgery, had to have a steel rod implanted and some screws, and he's perfectly fine. So I'm like, he'll be fine. And everyone that's freaking out just needs to calm down and relax.
Yeah, I cannot believe I can't believe where I am. Over 30 minutes here in this podcast here, and I haven't mentioned Jordan Taylor's name. He was 10th as we're sitting there recording this podcast. He was 10th in that final practice down in Dakota, so that's pretty good for Jordan Taylor.
Yeah.
We know he's a success on other road coursing series as well. We know him very, very well. Well, not me, but just seeing him out there in other series, dibbling, dabbling, winning a bunch of those big-time races. So He could probably be, he's possibly could be good this weekend on Sunday. When his podcast comes out late Sunday, we're going to know the result of Jordan Taylor's race for sure. So,
yeah, I'd be happy with him bringing it home in one piece. I mean, he's not really going for points, so as long as he's out there, fun. And, you're going for owner points, but I would keep an eye on that race, honestly. I think I would keep an eye on Chastain and Larson, FYI. That's what I would think. And Allmendinger.
Yes, all good drivers to watch, for sure. Yeah, Chastain, who won this race last year, his teammate Suarez, he had some issues. He was, if not for that, he was going to be up there challenged for the win as well. So those are group picks, good picks for Sunday there. So far, we're through, five races now of the Cup Series, right? So what are your thoughts so far early? What you have seen so far? What are your thoughts so far, if any?
My main thought so far is William Byron's been fun to watch. He's having a great start to his season. I mean, he won two in a row. He's got stage wins, not the most stage wins. I don't know the actual stat, but he's doing really well, and it's good to see him and Hendrick doing well. Again, bummed that Chase isn't there, but it's been fun watching him. I enjoy how each season you sometimes see different drivers kind of come out of their shell and have some more success than you'd expect. Not that William's a bad driver, but, it's good to see him kind of come out with a bang, and it'll be fun to see if that turns into a Final Four this year.
Yeah, it's kind of the same start that William Byron had last year. He won two out of the first seven or eight races, something like that, and then he kind of went quiet for the rest of the year there. So you would hope that William Byron, that team, learned from it, and they can carry some of that early momentum into a season-long success for that team. So yeah, they've made a statement here early, but obviously the penalties that was handed down kind of set all those teams back, of course. Except for the nine, obviously, but Hendrick Motorsports, they're gonna be all right. They're gonna be fine. The way they are right now, obviously there, but interesting to seeing how it all shakes out. William Byron was 16th in final practice today, so William Byron, obviously talented, bright future. And he is very fast so far here in 2023. So, also Atlanta, I wanted to get to that. I did see the condensed version of the race. Did not see it live because I was out of town last week as well. But we mentioned that a little bit in the old between differences between the speedway of it now of Atlanta and then the old track where drivers can move around, go low, go middle, and ride the wall. You know what I'm talking about? So, what are your thoughts on last week's race, and how are your feelings about Atlanta being from the traditional, quote unquote, mile and a half to this speedway type racing?
Well, I didn't think the race was terrible, although I'm a person who tries to look at races fair. Like, some of them, I'm like, it wasn't as exciting, but overall, I think each race is good for what it brings, But with that said, it wasn't that exciting. It was interesting to me, but I do think having this kind of super speedway track that Atlanta is leaning more towards super speedway, I'd rather see it back the old way. I just feel like we're losing some of those, really edgy tracks, and they're trying really hard to figure out what people want, but I think it's actually kind of leading away from what people want. Like, look at Auto Club. They had a great race there this season, and so it's like, don't really know where you're getting your info from, but okay.
Auto Club was definitely up there for me this year as far as races go. That was some exciting racing out there, and NASCAR decides, hey, let's just change it. And then, of course, Atlanta, I think they made that change a little bit a year too quick, in my opinion there. I rather would see them try it out with the current car that we have, that the guys have now, see how it is, and if it sucks, they can do what you need to do. But if it was good, then yeah, it can change it, do keep patching it, do whatnot. But that's the fun thing about racing is all the different lines, drivers trying to make their car handle better. It was funner that way.
Yeah, there was a little bit more strategy and, you know, driving scenarios you'd have to think about instead of just like just pit strategy or, you know, riding around until you can potentially get around. And I can see some of that single file stuff getting boring, or even side by side without actual racing, where they're just pacing, kind of, so to speak. But yeah, I don't know. I think if they would have given it one more year, like you said, it would have been good, because they were only in this next gen car for, what, 1 year already? And now it's like, okay, the second year is when you really start to, you're comfortable in the car now, you're, you know, they tweaked a few things in the off season, so you're kind of finding your groove. And I just, like you said, I think they should have waited to see how they got, how it played out this year with a little more experience in the car. But hey, what do I know?
Chrissy Luttrell, the one half of the Fast Lap Podcast, joining EG3 here on this special guest edition of the 3Wide Pod with EG3, Eddie Greer III. He with the guys once again, coming from Kansas City, Missouri. Yeah, speaking of strategy, back Dakota, NASCAR made a change before the season started that they're not going to implement stage breaks through the road racing for this year. So, which I'm excited about because it brings more strategy. See the crew chiefs at work. What are you going to do? I just think that with the stage breaks in the past, it's just too predictable, in my opinion. With you already know, depending on your situation, where you need points, or if you need a win, or if you need to get up in the playoff situation, whatever, you know that those drivers going to do what it needs to do. Especially like if you see a, for example, Tyler Reddick, right? If he has a win already, he's going to probably stay out, whatnot. Everybody knows what you're going to do. Well, what are your thoughts heading into COTA in the stage breaks? No stage breaks through COTA, Watkins Glen, Indy. What are your thoughts about that?
I think that it's going to be very interesting to see obviously cautions are going to be very, very, very important during these races, because those are going to be your times where you know you're going to get a pit stop. It's not going to be a green flag pit, and you can come in and change things. But I don't think anyone's going to do anything intentionally because it's a road course. But you have to think, how long will those green laps go, and how badly will people need to pit, and will green flag pit mess, like, when are they going to do them? You know, when it's like you're saying, it's all about strategy. So I just think it's going to be really interesting to see how many people push the envelope as far as how far they can go, or, you know, what kind of calls they make.
And you mentioned a few minutes ago some of the favorites to watch: Ross Chastain, Reddick, Allmendinger is going to be up in the mix there. Who do you think is going to be a sleeper here? Obviously, you mentioned them, but who do you think is going to be a so-called, quote-unquote, sleeper? Somebody that kind of under the radar going into this race on Sunday?
I'm going to say that I think a good sleeper would be Chase Briscoe and Alex Bowman.
That's a good choice there. Bowman, I dig it. Yep, I dig that. Bowman, he was up there battling for the win last year with Allmendinger and Chastain as well. Yeah, Alex Bowman gets around COTA pretty well as well. So
yeah,
that's a good pick there. And I would probably throw in here, I'd probably throw in here Michael McDowell as well. He gets around road courses pretty good
That's true. Because he's always the one that he'll just sneak up to, and you're like, where the hell did Michael McDowell come from?
Yeah,
now he's first or sneaking up on the top five, and you're, because you just, you know, no offense, Michael McDowell, great guy, gotta love him, but like, he's not one of the ones that you pay attention to unless something's happening. So it's like, all of a sudden you're like, oh crap, there he is, wow, good for you, let's go, bro. So that'd be really interesting to see if he could pull something like that off.
Yeah, so definitely Michael McDowell and the rest of the Cup drivers will take shape on Sunday for their race at Circuit of Americas on Sunday afternoon. The EG3 3Wide podcast continues with Chrissy Luttrell, one half of the Fast Lap podcast here. So going back all the way back to the beginning of this conversation, you talked about you've been to all the Daytona races so far. How's the and I'm assuming you went to the 500 this year, right?
Actually, this is the one 500 we have not gone to in the past 5 years, and I am really sad about it. But it's because we had to like cut back on some races because I'm trying to plan a trip where we can visit with Deb and her husband Andrew. So okay. We're like, you know what? This year, let's just skip it. It's fine. We went to the Xfinity and the truck races. Shout out to my buddy Brian Luffel, who's the guy with the orange hair on Twitter. He lives actually about a half hour north from me in a town called Rockledge. So we've gone to races together a couple times. We went with him and his wife for those two races. And so we didn't go. But, you know, the last couple 500s I went to kind of were, you know, rained out and kind of bummed. So I was like, just in case, this is a good year not to go. And then it was a great race.
Yep, it was with Ricky Stenhouse Jr. pulling out there for JTG Doherty. Yeah, Brian's been out here. I finally got to meet him and his wife when they were out here 2 weeks ago here at the Kansas Speedway out here. It was really nice to meet them along with, of course, another shout out to Don, MTJ fan.
I love Don.
Yes, me and her have been going to races now for the last couple of years now. So, that was fun times.
Shout out to her and moms for Blaney.
Yes. Oh, man. She is a hoot. She's a fun follow also on Twitter.
Was it the August race last year? I think it was the August race last year. If not the 500, I can't remember. Everything blends together now. And she was a trip. We only got to see her for like 15 minutes. She's a lot of fun. I wish I could do like a group Twitter race thing. Like, I know they have tweet ups and stuff, which is great, but it'd be cool like to just have a group, you know, go together and sit together and just have a good time.
I see. That would be fun as well. Never thought about it that way. Yeah, you see, obviously, particularly Jeff Gluck do all these tweet ups. He and Bob Pockris do all these tweet ups, and that'd be pretty fun too. Put a little group together and see if you can go meet at a race somewhere and just hang out and have some fun. That'd be pretty fun.
Not everybody makes it to the tweet ups on time, you know, because they're at a certain time and then it's only like, you know, so long. And then, and there's always so much to do at the racetrack. So I think it would be really fun. I don't know how it would happen logistically, but it's like, you know, like when you're in school and you can do like a field trip and everyone throws money in and then you all go to the same place. Like,
Yep.
Don't come to me to plan it. I'm just saying it would be a good idea.
Oh, I won't mention that. what if you have not already, what are some, you probably mentioned it already, but I'll say it again, what are some of the racetracks that you have, what are your top three racetracks that you want to go to, that you want to put on your bucket list?
Okay, so definitely Watkins Glen. That's the closest track to my original hometown, which is on Long Island, New York.
Okay.
There, and I do want to go to Phoenix, just because I went to Phoenix for the first time last year for my husband's best friend's wedding, and I loved it, and I would like to experience the Phoenix track, and then also Vegas, just because it's Vegas, and it would be a great trip.
Yes, yes. I was, well, this was for a family our family vacation 2 years ago. We went through Vegas. Did not see the track, however, but went through Vegas. It's all right, you know. So it's
A
all
little
right.
bright, you know, a little light.
Yeah, it's all right. I wouldn't stay there for more, probably more than a few days for a race weekend, but yeah, it's not too bad.
Yeah, I don't think I would do like a long-term stay. I think I would have my fill of Vegas probably in about a weekend. You know, you have a couple nights, dinner, some drinks, go to a race, and then it's like, all right, I'm tapped out. I'm gonna go
Yep,
home now. I need
exactly.
island quiet and my bed, and I'm overstimulated. I'm done. Send me home.
Yep, perfect planning. So we have not talked about you and Deb's podcast, the Fast Lap Podcast. When did you two start that up? I know it was like a couple years ago because I was one of those that listened on and
Wow.
off. But when did you guys put that together, and how did that come together?
So I was staying home at the time. I was a stay-at-home mom, and I was really enjoying NASCAR, and I had like no one to talk to because I didn't have anyone really. I was trying to figure out and get some followers on Twitter and make some friends on Twitter, just have people to interact with, to talk about NASCAR with. And Deb reached out to me to, because I actually, to back up some more, I'm good friends with Rob Tjongson from The Podium Finish, and he had reached out to me to write for them. So I did some writing for The Podium Finish, did a couple articles. My main one was, well, I think I did one article for sure on, it's very short-lived, on when I went to the championship week in Nashville in 2019. That was an amazing experience. So I wrote my article on that, and then I eventually did not write. I think I wrote another one. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I just didn't have the time for it with the kids. So anyway, I'm going on too long here. But I talked to Deb. She reached out to me to be in an article she was writing, and she never included my quote, by the way. And I still say this every time, and it gets her every time. I love you, Deb. But still, we ended up hitting it off, and I was like, "Hey, do you want to?" One day, I was just like, "Oh, I think a podcast would be fun because I like talking, and I don't have to write. I don't have to sit down, write, edit, you know, all that." So, except you do edit. But anyway, so she was just like, "Okay, sure. I don't really know you, but that's fine." And then we just hit it off, and yeah, the rest is history. We're basically the same person, which is really weird when you think about it, that we found each other on Twitter, but it's awesome.
Yep. The friends that you make on Twitter is something else. But some of the friendships that you find on Twitter, they can be long lasting relationship. They can be long lasting. So I'm especially with that group I'm in, that I mentioned, the Truex Nation group that I'm in a part of on Twitter. Met a lot of folks on Twitter as well. You could have the same driver, same as you. So met a lot of people on Twitter as well. So what was your favorite guest on so far to this point? I know
Oh, it's hard.
it's been a while, but who was your, well, give me three if you can. Who are your favorite guests that you guys brought on?
Ooh. Oh, I have to say Eddie DeHaan was one of my all-time favorites. He's great. I love him to death. I'm so torn because I had so many great women on. We had Jesse Punch, who's an absolute sweetheart. We had Amber Balkan on, who is, I love her. She's amazing. She's definitely top three. Toni Breidinger, she's another one. I can't pick one because then, like, also we had Natalie Decker on, and then she agreed to do a YouTube live stream with a bunch of women, like women fans on Twitter that just we sat around and talked, and that was so sweet of her. So yeah, that's all of them. Everyone. And then we had Dalen Barr, who had us crying laughing. So I can't just pick. I can't. Those
It's a
anyone I mentioned, and Anthony, like I said, Spencer Boyd was a hoot. We had, oh my gosh, Corey LaJoie was great. So it just everyone has been so fun in their own way.
right.
And Charlie Langenstein is another one. He's been a repeat guest. He's a good friend of ours. And there's just the best part about podcasting to me, I think why I can't pick a favorite is because they're each a different story. You learn different things from each person you talk to. Like, talking to Amber, she was just so motivational and so, like, you know, take care of yourself, and her head is on really straight when it comes to racing, and she's working her butt off, and she's doing everything she needs to do. And then, like, you talk to Charlie Langenstein, and he's just sharing stories from old days and having you laughing on stupid garage stories, you know, from back in the day. And so there's just so much you get. And then Eddie's just explaining, like, his coming up from, he was on Long Island, so, you know, we get along because he's, we have that connection, and you know, other stories. And it's just so great. Everyone has such a great, like, experience to share, and it's so fun to talk to people. And I do, I miss it a lot, I really do, but I can't do it without Deb. And we're just trying to find when we would have time, because you got to sit down and record, and then you got to edit, and then you got to upload, and it sounds like it's not that much work, but for me, I have, you know, 2 young kids, 7 and 9 years old, I got dogs, a husband, I got full-time job, laundry, house, you know, all that stuff. So it's like, and then I'm supposed to have self-care somewhere in there? I don't know, drink water maybe, something like that. Sleep eventually. But it is one of the best things about the show is just how many wonderful people we've met, gotten to know, have kept in touch with, and some of the surprising friends that we've made along the way. It just, I'm so thankful and blessed for the opportunity, even if it never comes again, which I hope it does. It's great. I wish I could be like Caitlin Vinci and work and do that, but, you know, that's a dream far in the distance.
Hey, yeah, it's all about the stories, and yeah, it's very fascinating when all the interviews that I've done to this point, whether it's on this podcast or my K-State podcast, it's all about the stories, and they all have their different way of getting to their different journey. Like you mentioned Natalie Decker, I have had the privilege of interviewing her. Was it two years ago, I think? Yeah, something like that. They're all meshed together now, but had her on the show. She was very sweet. I've had Roger Cruz on the show a couple times now. Nick Sanchez, who's now in the Craftsman Truck Series, watching his rise now. It's just really fun to see these guys and gals just trying to achieve their goals in NASCAR. It's pretty fun to watch.
Yes, I agree. And then you get to know them, and then you have them on more often. It's kind of feel like you're watching, you know, almost watching a friend, because you get to know them, and it's great to see success. That's another thing, like, about being a NASCAR fan. I know there's so many, everyone has a favorite, and they have their driver, like my driver is Chase, but I like and care about so many other drivers and their success. Like, Kyle Busch wins, great, I'm happy for him, you know, yeah, you know, crap, Chase didn't finish in the top 10, but, you know, good for Kyle. Or I get happy when other people have success. Sometimes I get annoyed with people on the track. Definitely do, and I definitely get pissy, and I definitely don't like finishes. Don't get me wrong. I am a fan that gets angry. But I try to find that, you know, whatever. It's the end of the race. You got next week. Let's just go and try again, you know, and let them be happy for whatever success they have. So, or at least I try to.
Yeah, like you said early on this podcast tonight, find a silver lining that hey, you know, if your favorite driver has a bad finish, hey, there's another opportunity next week to redeem himself.
And a lot of times they come back more hungry for that next race, and oftentimes you know, lo and behold, nothing happens, because sometimes we know how freak cautions happen, but usually it's fun to see. To see how your driver attempts the next race, and if you notice a little bit more of an edge on them sometimes or not. That's something I've noticed. Like, Chase seems, every time he fails, he comes back harder. And because, like, you know, his interviews, he's hard on himself, which is understandable, but it's not always his fault. But, you know, you see him come back, and he tends to have success after failure. So sometimes a little bit of failure can be good. So everybody just needs to chill, and there's next week.
One half of the Fast Lap Podcast, Christy Luttrell, here on the 3Y NASCAR podcast at EG3 on this Friday evening. We're recording on March 24th, 2023. I appreciate her time after a few times having to kick this thing down the curb with the schedules, but this has been a fun conversation here. Just a few more minutes here on the podcast here. I do have to ask you a question. Do you have a favorite, I know you're a Chase fan, do you have a favorite model? You talked about cars earlier with your husband, Joseph, right? So yes. Do you have a couple other favorite models, like a Ford, Toyota, or Mustang, or GT, or any favorite?
Definitely Mustang. So I do like watching Fords in NASCAR because they're Mustangs, so I have an impartial, love for them. I do like the Camaros. Funny enough, growing up with all the Mustang group, because I had my brother and everyone had a Mustang group. It's actually called, we had a forum online, and it was called Muscle Mustangs of Brevard, because that's the county we live in, and then it later got changed to Brevard Mustangs. We were super cool. We had stickers on our windows and everything. Anyway, but there was a lot of, one of my best friends had a Camaro, and he had the old IROC Z, and then he had, the Catfish generation, and I've been around a lot of those cars, and I respect them, and I'm more of a domestic than an import girl, but I'm not going to hate too much. I still prefer the sound of Muscle over a weed whacker, but it's fine. Everyone has their love, and it's cool. I'm not hating. I'm just whatever. But yeah, I have a Mustang Celine, and so my husband has a Cobra. I've had a Cobra. My whole family, we're a Ford family. So yeah, okay. I have a Celine tattoo on my right wrist. So yeah.
All right. Okay. Let's see. Okay, so Fox has the first half of the NASCAR season. Then, of course, now drawing up like NBC Sports and their network have the second half. So what have your thoughts been so far on the commentary of Fox so far? Obviously, with Tony Stewart, Danica Patrick, obviously the great Mike Joy, Clint Bowyer. What are your thoughts on the commentary so far that Fox has been doing?
It's not been terrible. You can tell they're trying to find their niche right now. I don't mind Danica in the booth, but I feel like she gets talked over a lot, and I can almost see it on her face sometimes. She doesn't really get, at least in my opinion, I feel like she'll try to start making a point, and then Clint will just talk over her, and then him and Tony go back and forth, and she'll just stand there like, all right. So I'd like to be able to hear her talk a little more. She does have some good things to say. I enjoy having Tony Stewart in the booth because I think he's fun as a team owner and, someone who enjoys still racing. I mean, he's getting into drag racing now, which is fun, for me to see that. So it's really interesting to hear his commentary. I enjoy having him on there. And Mike Joy is always, he's always going to be great. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. So far, it's so good. I mean, the commercials are... it's always a topic, all the commercials, but what are we going to do about that? I don't know. I guess I'm just easygoing. I don't really care. I think some of, like, Mikey's stuff when he does the grid walks a little cringy, to put it nicely. But he means well.
And next season, obviously, we talked about, or... earlier in this podcast, you mentioned Kevin Harvick. Farewell season. He's going to be up in the booth next year, and he's for the last several years been doing booth work now for Fox. Now he's going to be up there, I think, full time, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure, but right. what are your thoughts on that? That's exciting. At least for me, it's exciting to see him up there.
I think it's great to have him up there, especially if they have him up there with Clint. I don't know how, it could be fun. I feel like Clint can still be goofy, so I don't know if Kevin's going to get tired of him being so, bouncy around, whatever. But I think something like him and Tony Stewart in the booth would be a really good race call, and, Mike Joy. So that's my opinion. I think it'll be great. I think Kevin's got a lot of knowledge. He's really great to listen to on the Xfinity races when he calls them. So I look forward to it. I think he's going to do really well.
Yeah, I think so as well. And have you been to the town of Dawsonville, Chase Elliott's hometown, right?
I have, yes. Actually, I used to shop at the outlets up there when I lived up there, because like I had said earlier, I used to live in a town called Cumming, Georgia, which is about 20 minutes away from Dawsonville, so I used to shop there frequently. And back in 2020, when we were on, you know, lockdown and quarantine, my kids spent the summer with my in-laws, and I actually spent 5 weeks with my best friend in Atlanta, Shannon, and she lived basically 10 minutes from Dawsonville, so we were basically, I was there, like, for a whole 5 weeks in Atlanta, and, like, she does house cleaning and stuff, so I'd help her out. She cleans this Airbnb on Lake Lanier in Dawsonville, and it's the most beautiful house. A lot of work, but it was a really fun experience. We ate and had, like, the best margarita at this little restaurant, this Mexican restaurant. I can't remember what it's called, but it was, like, a margarita with a bottle of champagne in it, and it was delicious and dangerous. So.
Man.
And we did go by the pool room, but they were closed, unfortunately, because I believe they were renovating during the lockdown. So we did not get to go in and eat, but, you know, I did get my little token picture outside by the sign and all that good stuff, and then went on our way.
Very cool, very cool. And I'm going to end our conversation here tonight on this podcast with this question. With Coda here this weekend, well, not here, but down there in Texas this weekend, do you have a bold prediction or for the next few races? Do you have a bold prediction for this weekend, or do you have a bold prediction for the next couple of weekends?
I'm going to say a bold prediction for this weekend, Christopher Bell.
See?
I know that's different than what I said earlier, but he's sneaky sometimes. So we'll see. I'm probably wrong. Because if it's not him, I'm going to go with Alex Bowman. So it's one of those two, I'll be happy.
Yeah.
If it's not, I'm fine. I don't care. It's not like Chase is going to win. It'd be great if Jordan Taylor would pull off the win. That would be insane. But, you know, let's be realistic here.
That would be insane. But, yeah, that's my thoughts kind of exactly. Christopher Bell, number one. If not Truex. But, yeah, Bell, number one. Yeah, and Bowman, yeah, he to me can be sticky at times as well. He put himself in the right position. You don't hear of him all day, and next thing you know, with 10 laps to go, there's that 48 right there ready to pounce. Yep. So,
you know who else might be good? One more name that just popped into my head was, oh my God, did I just lose it? I just had a brain fart. I had a really good thought, and then I just oh my God. Never mind. Austin Dillon, I'm sorry.
Wow, there we go.
A really good Austin Dillon. He's not been terrible on road courses. We'll see. We'll see. I'm probably wrong on all of it, and that's great. I don't care. But I'm just...
Austin Dillon, he did finish, I think... this was a couple years ago. I think that this was the race where it was all rainy. I think he finished either second or third to Chase when Chase won.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see if Austin Dillon...
It can just turn out to be a complete you-know-what show, too. So
yeah. Yeah, especially the last few laps. You know how that goes. With a caution late with less than 10 laps to go, and all of a sudden, everything just... All hell breaks loose. And then yeah, yep. Just... It gets out of hand. But Chrissy, before I let you go, tell everyone where they can find you on social media.
I'm on Twitter at CTLuttrell9, which is CTLUTTRELL9. I also have Instagram, same handle, and I'm on Facebook, Chrissy Luttrell. Woo! And the podcast is still on. Podcast like channels like iHeartRadio and Apple Podcasts. So if anyone does get curious and want to go back and listen to our episodes, they are still available. You just have to search Fast Lap with Chrissy and Deb on your podcast.
Yes they are. Yeah, I'm gonna go back and listen to a couple more of those interviews that I haven't listened to yet. So I'm not gonna be one of those guys, one of those people to go back and listen
to. Thank you.
Yes. So very, very excited about that. One half of the Fast Lap Podcast, Chrissy Luttrell, here in the 3-1 NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Chrissy, this has been a blast. I'm pretty sure we'll chat on Twitter weekly. We will probably have to do this again at some point. I know which one our schedules. We scheduled this about like 10 times. So,
but we'll have to start planning for like 6 months away.
Yeah, something like that. That's exactly. But Chrissy, this has been a fun conversation. Have a good weekend. We'll chat.
Yes, for sure. You too. Thank you so much for having me. It was great.
Checkered flag is waved on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast where podcasts are found. Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, and more. We'll catch you all in the next episode. Thank you for listening.